Thank you so much for joining us today for our online worship experience. We're honored to have you. For those that come to City Church and those that don't, just to be a part and you tuning in right now is an honor to us and it's a joy to us. We want to do our best, and I pray that the worship has been a blessing to you, and the time to check in and to give has been a blessing to you, and I pray that the message is going to be a blessing to you too. You know, we're facing really unprecedented times. I never thought in my life that we would ever see something like this, but here we are. And maybe you're overwhelmed. Maybe you're facing insurmountable odds because of this virus or other things. I pray that today that you'd be comforted and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. You have our love and support, and we're praying for you. And we believe that somehow, some way, God is there right now with us individually, and that he will make a way for us. And so I just believe that somehow God's going to show up and give victory through all this. And I believe still that in Jesus, the best is yet to come. Now, we're in the middle of a series entitled Friend of Sinners, because we believe that Jesus is a friend of the sinner. And we believe this because the love of God is unconditional. And Jesus has the power to see past what we see. I believe that his grace is amazing and his mercies are new every morning. And somehow, some way, in God's power and in God's love, he has the ability to bring out the best of us, but then he also has the ability to heal the worst in us. And I believe that today Jesus can do that for you and for me, no matter where we're at in the journey of our faith. As you're watching right now, maybe you've received Jesus, maybe you never have received Jesus, or maybe you're searching and just looking and you're wondering. I'm here to tell you today that I believe that Jesus, he's the lover of humanity. He loves you. He is the anchor of your soul and of your hope, and he will meet you right where you're at, no matter where that is. And I believe this message today will speak to that and give you hope. I want to preach today from one of the famous stories in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's a story of a woman caught in a sinful act, and Jesus redeems her. So I'm preaching a message entitled A Dirt Road and Redemption. And I believe we'll see ourselves in some of the characters of the story, and I want to connect it to our everyday lives. I want to pray, and then I'll get into the message. Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing. I pray right now for every individual, every family watching right now. Lord, I pray for our city. I pray for our state, our nation, and the nations of the world. We need your touch. We need your Holy Spirit to move more now than ever before. We ask for healing. We ask for peace, for provision. Lord, we ask for your glory to shine through this mess. Help us right now and bless all those that are doing their best in the medical field, our politicians, all of that. God, bless them as we need them to do their best and we support them. Help us right now in Jesus' name and let this message touch our hearts. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 8. I want to read verses 4 through 11 to give context to this story. Before I read, Jesus basically is at a church. He's speaking on a Sabbath, and there's a crowd around him. He's inside the building and outside the building. And all of a sudden, a woman is brought before him by a group of religious people, and they accuse her of a sinful act. And then here's where the story begins. In verse 4, "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus, notice this, stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." What a powerful story of redemption, of a new beginning, of a second chance, of Jesus doing what only Jesus can do. You know, I believe in this story, we see three main characters. We see the woman caught in the act of adultery. Then we see this group of people that were teachers and Pharisees of the religious law of that time. And then we see Jesus. Now, I believe all of us today that are hearing this message can connect to one of the first two sets of characters, maybe in a different way or maybe in the same way that it's mentioned in this story. As we see ourselves in this, I believe you and I can also draw hope that Jesus can redeem us too. If he redeemed them, then he can redeem us like he did this woman. He may be challenging you and I to come to a deeper place today. So I would ask you right now to please just lay down any resistance you possibly have, set aside the distractions, and just lean in and receive this message today with faith. Because as we open up our hearts and see maybe ourselves in it, it gives Jesus the chance to do what only he can do. So the first character we may find ourselves in from the story that I read is the woman caught in the act of adultery. This was a woman that she was caught doing wrong. Her sin was exposed. It wasn't hidden anymore. Now it was public knowledge. She was on display for all to see. Because of the law of that day, she was scheduled to die because of her act of sin. It was a legal right for her to be killed under the law of the people at that time. And she was brought before Jesus. And there's no doubt that she didn't end up just one day in that situation. To me, and we don't know this, but I mean, there had to be a cascading effect of a downward spiral in her life that was causing her to lose hope and lose self-respect. And ultimately, she finds herself in this bad place, and she's caught. And now she stands before judgment. She stands before her accusers, and she stands before Jesus. You know, for us today, some of you, and there's no doubt in my mind, there's several of us that are connecting with this first character, in that maybe we've done something wrong and we've been caught. Maybe it's not the same thing as this woman, but now we've been caught and we're in the situation. We've been exposed. It's not hidden anymore. It's for all to see. Maybe we're embarrassed and maybe we're ashamed. And maybe just like this woman, the cascading effects of life, the downward spiral has caused us to come to a point where we've lost self-respect. And now we find ourselves in a situation filled with hurt, anger, failure, who knows what. And we find ourselves like this woman. It doesn't have to be the same sin of adultery. It can be a lot of things. But I wonder today, have any of us ever been caught doing something wrong? It doesn't matter where you're at in the journey of your faith. If you're like me, chances are all of us have been caught doing something wrong at one time or another. And yet here's what's powerful, is that Jesus shows up. And so when she had no hope, she had no way out. According to the law, she was doomed. It was over. Maybe you feel that way too. Maybe you feel like there's no hope. Maybe you feel like the bills are piling up and the finances are drying up. Maybe you feel like you're overwhelmed with life and now you add the virus to it and it's too much. Who knows what you're facing today if you connect with this first character? But here's the good news. Jesus was there. Come on now. Jesus was there. And this woman was brought before Jesus. Now, there's no question she was caught doing wrong. So she messed up. And the good news is that Jesus is a friend. He's a friend to the sinner. He's a friend to you and he's a friend to me. He's not looking for perfect people. He wants hungry people that know they're broken and that will reach up and grab on to him. That's who he's wanting. So all of us are in play to be chosen by God because he doesn't need us to be perfect. He really doesn't want us to be religious. He wants us to be broken. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be true to who we are so that his truth can come into our lives and do what only he can do. And so Jesus is there and this woman is brought before him. And as they accuse her of her acts, the Bible says he does this twice. But the first time he stoops down and he writes in the dust of the ground. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what he's writing or really what he's even doing, but we just know he's messing with the dust in the road, the dirt road. And while we don't know what he was doing specifically, I believe to me this speaks of a symbolic message of truth that you and I can have hope in today. You see, in the book of Genesis, the first man, Adam, the Bible says, was created from the dust of the ground. That's Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. We also know that Jesus was involved in creating Adam. That's found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Jesus was there when Adam was created. So to me, symbolically, when he was kneeling down, he was messing with the dirt in the road. He was reminding himself and he was showing the people, whether they saw it or not, I'm the creator and I made you from the dust of the ground. And if I can make you, then I can redeem you. He was giving hope right there in that moment. But as they were spewing out all these accusations, he was pointing out, I'm the creator. I am the redeemer. And if I made you, then I can redeem you. And there's hope in that for us today. Maybe we feel like we've gone too far and we can't be forgiven. Maybe we feel like we're too messed up on the inside. We have an issue that he can't fix, or he hasn't fixed it yet. Maybe we feel overwhelmed and we feel like we don't measure up. We're not good enough. Here's good gospel news. This woman caught in this very act of sin was redeemed because Jesus has the power to redeem any person. He has the power to change any situation. He has the power to set us free. And if he did it for her, he can do it for you and for me. I love that today. If you find yourself like this woman, if you've been caught in the act of doing something wrong, it's not over for you. There's hope for you. God is for you. And that's why this message is for all of us, whether we find ourselves caught in doing something wrong. Maybe we believe in Christ or we don't. But no matter where we're at in life, we can find ourselves. All of us have been caught doing something wrong at some level. And yet Jesus redeems us. He's the creator of our bodies, of our soul, of our spirit. And he has something for us, and he can do anything. Then what happens in the story is, as Jesus confronts all of her accusers, they drop their stones. I'm going to get to that in a minute, but they drop all their stones and they leave one by one. Then it's just Jesus and her. It's a one-on-one encounter. And that's what Jesus was wanting the whole time. And in that moment, she was changed. She was redeemed. You know, Jesus wants a one-on-one time and moment with you too. He doesn't want you to run from him in your embarrassment or your shame or your guilt or your feeling of unworthiness or ugliness. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to stand in the place and receive from him. He wants one-on-one time with you. He wants a one-on-one moment with you because he loves you. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. And he has the power to redeem you today. And just like he did with this woman, he will do for you. So please today, don't flee church. Don't leave God. Don't ignore God. Run to God. Run to Jesus. Even if you're dirty, so to speak, you run to Jesus. If you feel like your hands are messed up, reach out. He will reach back to you. He wants you. He is longing to show you what he can do. So let him do it today, because after everyone was gone, it was just she and Jesus. And she stayed in that moment and she received her redemption. And so can you. Our temptation is to hide in embarrassment, to hide in shame. I'm not good enough. I don't want to change or I can't change. Who knows what it is? But Jesus has the power to redeem. He's the creator of your soul. He is the creator of my soul. Jesus has done great things in my life. He can do them for you. So if you find yourself in this message of a dirt road in redemption, and you find yourself as the woman caught in adultery at some level, any level, please hear me. Jesus can do something great for you. Don't run from him. Stay in the pocket and let him touch you. But there's another side to the story. There's another set of characters that maybe you and I find ourselves connecting to. The second group of characters is what the Bible calls teachers and Pharisees of the law. These were the ones that caught the woman somehow and brought her to Jesus. Now, for description purposes, these were people that had the Hebrew Bible at that time, if you want to call it that. They had it memorized. They knew every scripture. They knew every law. They knew every rule, if you will. They knew how to dress. They knew how to look. They knew how to talk. They knew what to do, and they did it all. So their life looked it, but Jesus often exposed in the Gospels how their heart didn't model it. So they had the appearance of it, but there was something missing on the inside, and that's a challenge for you and I today. So in this message, we may have people that don't believe in Jesus. We may have people that do believe in Jesus. And we may have people that are seasoned Christ followers that are moving forward in their faith. But no matter where we're at in the journey of life, all of us can connect with this story. Because as I mentioned, all of us can connect with the woman at some level that we've been caught doing something wrong. And he can redeem us. But then we have this second group. This group represents people today that maybe know the Bible. They know scripture. They know what to do. They're compelled to do it. They're doing their best to do it. And their lives model what the scripture asks them to do. But maybe here's the temptation that besets them. For example, in this story, the teachers and Pharisees of the law had stones in their hand, ready to stone the woman caught in adultery. and they were concerned with her issue. They were caught up with what she was doing, and they wanted to trap Jesus at the same time. That's a bad attitude. That's a bad heart. They were playing games with Jesus. Don't play games with Jesus. Just come to him and give him everything you got. Don't try to set him up to fail. He can't fail. He just wants to do something great in us. But here's the condition they found themselves in. And maybe today you and I are tempted the same way, because if you notice the first character, she shows us the temptation that can, you know, entrap us with a physical temptation or a lustful temptation or whatever. But this group of people, the teachers and Pharisees of the law, show us the temptation of the sins of the heart. And this is so deadly, just like the first temptation is too. So maybe we know the Bible. Maybe we know what to do, just like they did. Maybe we are convicted and we are doing our best, but we find ourselves distracted with the issues of other people. We find ourselves worked up with what other people are doing or not doing. We find ourselves all tied up inside, looking at other people and maybe competing and comparing, thinking that we're better, and we are falling into the same trap as they did back then, 2,000 years ago. If this is the case, I believe a lot of times if we're worked up about what other people are doing or not doing, it's because somewhere in the truth of our own soul, we're frustrated with ourselves. But what happens is it comes out, these sins of the heart, and this second group of characters, of the teachers and the Pharisees, what happens today, it comes out in the form of judging others, holding grudges, unforgiveness, lying, conniving, manipulating, seeking our own way, being mean to people, not walking in love, having lust dominate our life, wanting to be better than other people, hiding behind the Bible, hiding behind religion, focused on what they did or didn't do, letting pride be the forefront of the force of our life instead of letting Jesus be. And if this is happening in your life or in my life, it's because it's a result of the sin that's been done to us has now produced sin in us. In other words, all of us are imperfect, and people have hurt us and we have hurt others. And so here's the cycle. When we've been hurt, when we've been done wrong to, it produces wrong on the inside of us until we let Jesus come in and we let his way, his love dominate or dictate our life. If we don't let that happen, anytime someone does wrong to us, it produces wrong in us by holding on to grudges, not forgiving, being bitter, being jealous, or whatever it is, being angry or being filled with anger, out of control, anger, etc. Jesus wants to do something different. And so I wonder today if you're honest and you just get real, are you potentially caught up in other people's issues? Are you focused and filled with different thoughts and different feelings about what someone else is doing or isn't doing? Are you worked up and you're letting that dominate you? Because for this group of people, that's what they were doing. And Jesus confronted them. So notice, here's what Jesus did for them. If we find ourselves, and there's no question in my mind that this message of a dirt road in redemption is connecting to all of us at some level. But here comes Jesus, and he challenges them. He challenges them to stop worrying about what other people are doing. And here's what he says. He says, if you haven't sinned, then you hold your stones and you throw them at her. But they all sinned, and so they dropped them and they left one by one. I believe Jesus is confronting us today with the same question. If you've never sinned, then keep your stone because you're justified. So if you've never sinned against anyone, if you've never made a mistake, then you hold on to the unforgiveness. You hold on to the grudges. You hold on to the strife. Hold on to the manipulating and the lying. Hold on to the jealousy and the anger. You hold on to it because if you've never sinned, then you're justified. But come on, we all know that's not true. All of us have messed up. All of us have ongoing issues even after we come to Jesus. So he's saying, let down the stone, let it go. Instead of focusing on other people's issues, he wants us to let him heal our issues. Notice what happened in the story. That as they were accusing this woman, he kneels down and writes in the dirt two different times. I believe one for the woman and one for them. Again, what was he symbolizing? What was it a symbol of? He was the creator. Adam was made from the dirt of the ground in Genesis chapter 2. He was saying, I'm the creator. I can redeem you if you let me. I can change you if you forget about other people's issues and let me touch your issues. But notice what they did, as I've already mentioned. They leave one by one. They don't let Jesus touch them. They miss out on their moment, and they miss out on redemption. Today, I want to encourage you. Jesus, he's saying to let our stones down. Lay down the stone of unforgiveness. Lay down the stones of holding on to grudges. Lay down the stone of anger and strife and division and gossip and discord and whatever else it is. Lay it down. And then he's saying, but don't leave him. Don't walk away. But he's saying, stay in the moment and let Jesus have a one-on-one moment with you. Why? So that he can touch you, that he can heal you, that he can deliver you and set you free. This is what Jesus wants to do. He has the power to redeem us. He has the power to set us free. Let go of other people's issues. Let Jesus heal your issues. Because this is what Jesus can do with a dirt road in redemption. He can prove to us he's the creator. He has all power. But he needs our participation. He needs something from us. This woman was broken. This woman was caught in a wrong act, and she was changed. However, these people that were religious, that knew the law, they knew what to do. They were so worked up with her issues that they missed their own healing of their issues. And this speaks to us today. Maybe you find yourself desperate. You find yourself broken. You find yourself exposed. Jesus wants to redeem you. Maybe you find yourself in the honesty of your heart, on the inside of you, you're focused on other people. You're worked up about other people. You are, you're ate up with this idea of being better than people or being religious and not letting Jesus touch you. You're having stones in your hand. You're ready to throw them. And Jesus is challenging you and me, if that's the case, to examine our own life. And if we have never sinned, then go ahead and hold it. But we know that's not true. We have over and over again. So we have to lay it down, we have to let him in, and we have to let Jesus cleanse our life too. This is the focus of Jesus. He's not looking for people to pretend to be righteous. He's not looking for people to get saved and then be the judge and jury of everyone else and to have a better than attitude, a holier than thou attitude. He doesn't want that. He wants us to be humble and broken all the days of our life, because anyone can fall into a sin. Any of us can get messed up or caught up, but Jesus can redeem any of us, and he can do it today, no matter where you find yourself. So in closing, you may find yourself like the woman. There's hope for you. Jesus can redeem you and heal you and clean you and do a miracle in your life. Maybe you find yourself like the teachers and the Pharisees of the law. You know the Bible. You know what to do. You know where you stand with God. But on the inside, you're worked up. You're holding stones. You're ready to go at someone. And Jesus is saying, come on, let it down and let me heal you. So no matter where we find ourselves today in this message, no matter where we find ourselves in the crisis of this virus hitting our nation and our community, here's the deal. Jesus wants to give you and I a healing that only he can give. He wants to give redemption. He wants to give a new beginning. And even if we are saved, he wants to give a new beginning possibly to our heart of faith and to a fresh love for God and for people. If you're been caught doing something wrong, he wants to redeem you, and then he has the power to set you free and to change you. He wants to change you for good. So I would ask you right now, in this moment, to bow your head and bow your heart, right there where you're watching, with your family, with your friends, by yourself, to bow your head, to bow your heart, and to let Jesus touch you right now. Because what he did in this story, he will do for you, and he will do for me. None of us are exempt from this story. Quite frankly, all of us can find ourselves being tempted to do something wrong physically. Maybe it's an illicit act. Maybe it's something else. But all of us can find ourselves tempted. Or we can find ourselves tempted with a heart issue, with sins of the heart, holding on to grudges, holding on to wrong. All of us can find ourselves on one side of the coin. But Jesus shows up, and he can clean both sides of the coin and do something that we can't do. Because he's a friend of the sinner. He's a friend that's just closer than a brother. So as your head is bowed and your heart is bowed, if you would say, Pastor David, I've never received Jesus in my life. I've never received Christ. I've never called on the Lord. Do it today. Others of you would say, man, I have done that, but I'm far from God in this moment, and I need to come back to him. If that's you today, I'm going to pray for you here in a moment, and I believe Jesus is going to save you. In fact, if you're watching, you can click a button and let us know you received Jesus, or tell us you've received Jesus. We want to do our best and pray and serve you and help you move forward in your faith. Others of you may say, you know what, PD, you know, Pastor Dave, I find myself, as you're preaching today, if I'm honest, there's sins in my heart. There's sins in my heart about other people. There's things that are not right in me, and I need Jesus to heal me. I need Jesus to do something new in me. And if you find yourself in one of those places today, I want to pray for you right now. So as your head is bowed and your heart is bowed, follow me, please, out loud and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in your blood. I turn from what is wrong, and I give you all of me. I receive what you have for my life. I'm completely yours. Jesus, touch my heart. I lay down any stone in my hand, and I ask you to heal my issues and to heal me. Jesus, I give you what I can. I am yours. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I believe Jesus has saved you, and I believe that you're on the process of letting Jesus heal your heart and do a work in you. Come on, let him do it today. Give him time. Let him have that one-on-one moment. He can do something great for you. And I believe that in Jesus, the best is yet to come. We'll be back next weekend, and we'll do our best for you. And I want to encourage you to come and watch it and share it with others. God is moving even in this crisis, and the best is yet to come. So see you next week.